In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold the outcasts. 10 of them here. Banished from temple, from synagogue, from society, from family, because of a skin disease. Waiting outside the village, near the road, on the margins, the road between Samaria and Galilee of the Gentiles, between the bad and the worse, between those on the one hand who are half-breeds and had forsaken traditional Jewish worship, and on the other hand, those who had never known the God of Israel. Yet not too near even that road, a road where perhaps a passing traveler might throw them some scraps of food or, just maybe, help in some other way. Recognizable by most, by their torn garments and unkempt hair, as Moses had commanded, and if not, covering their mouths and warning any unwary person who approached, "Unclean, unclean, come no closer, lest you too become ritually impure and will have to leave your friends and family and join our little company of outcasts." Even Samaritans, who would be unwelcome among those who worship in Jerusalem, are welcome here. We are all unclean together, a community of the excommunicated. What's all that noise over there along the road? There's a man heading along the road to Jerusalem, and there's a great crowd of people shouting. It sounds as though they're welcoming some great celebrity. "That must be Jesus," one of them said, "the preacher from Nazareth, just over here in Galilee. I've heard that he has the gift of healing. He's cast out demons, healed people of all kinds of diseases, restored a man's withered hand, healed at least one leper already just by touching him and saying, 'Be healed,' and even raised people from the dead. Maybe, we don't dare to go any closer, but if we all shout together, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us,' somehow the Master heard, even at that distance, went close enough to be heard himself, and spoke. Not 'be healed,' but simply 'go and show yourselves to the priests.' Show ourselves to the priests? Why? What can they do? The priests can't heal us. All they can do is examine our skin and hair follicles, compare them with Moses' regulations, and determine whether or not we are fit to re-enter the community. And how are we to find a priest anyway? We're not allowed to enter the temple in our condition and look for one. But didn't we just call him Master? I don't know why we did, because that's the title by which only his disciples address him. And yet that's what we called him when we asked him to have mercy on us. If he really is our Master, perhaps we'd better just do what he told us to do. If he can raise the dead, he certainly has the power to heal us even at a distance, without touching us. So let's just go." And as they headed in the direction of Jerusalem, every one of them found that he had been healed. The appearance of their skin was quite different now, and they were confident that any priest would be able to tell that they were lepers no longer, that they were no longer excluded from the community. 10 men cleansed, no longer lepers, heading for Jerusalem, but only 9 completed that journey. The 10th turned back from doing what Jesus, the one he had just minutes before called Master, had told him to do. He turned back, disobeying the Master, to prostrate himself before the Master and give him thanks. And the Master commended him for his faith. "Your faith has saved you." Commended for disobeying? Or perhaps not, for Jesus had said only, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He had not said where the priests were to be found. And why would this man go to priests in Jerusalem? He was a Samaritan. For him, the true place of worship and its priests were on Mount Gerizim. But that temple was no more. So he had come back to give thanks to the one who had healed him, perhaps not yet knowing that Jesus himself was a priest, but a priest of a different kind altogether, who would later be called our great high priest. Not just a leper, but a Samaritan leper. Doubly disadvantaged before, but now doubly blessed. Not just healed of his leprosy, but unlike his 9 former companions, saved, made whole. Jesus had lamented this generation's lack of faith and had already spoken of the wonders wrought by God among non-Israelites through the prophets Elijah and Elisha. Now it is not even one of the Jewish former lepers who had been cleansed who comes back to give thanks, but a Samaritan. Earlier, as Jesus commenced his journey with his face set toward, or perhaps against, Jerusalem, he and his disciples had been made unwelcome in a Samaritan village. Jesus had sometimes been accused by the Jewish leaders of being a Samaritan himself, but now this Samaritan becomes one of many who had become followers of Jesus. We think of the Samaritan woman whom Jesus encountered at the well, who became an evangelist among her own people, and whom the church honors as Saint Fotini. And a whole community of Samaritan Christians arose through the preaching of Philip the deacon and was embraced by the apostles Peter and John. What did the other 9 former lepers do when they reached Jerusalem and showed themselves to the priests? Did they tell the priests that it was Jesus who had healed them? Did they even recognize that the healing was Jesus doing? After all, he hadn't actually touched them or even said to them, "Be made clean." Did they simply tell the priests that God had healed them without mentioning the encounter with Jesus? Were they among the many who cry out to the Lord for help or healing of some kind, but then do not give thanks to the one who delivered them? The man who was not only cleansed but saved was a Samaritan. But when the Lord compares him with the 9 who do not return to give thanks, he refers to him not as this Samaritan, but as this foreigner. God had revealed himself in a unique way to Israel, yet not for Israel alone, but for the whole world. In the words of Isaiah the prophet, echoed by Saint Simeon the God receiver, "I have given you as a light to the nations, to the Gentiles." Now this foreigner, banned from the inner court of the temple in Jerusalem, has joined the ranks of those non-Israelites who had become worships of Israel's God. Ruth, a Moabite, Naaman, a Syrian, even more foreign than a Samaritan, and himself formerly a leper who had been cleansed through the work of the prophet Elisha. Today's gospel reading shows us that the gospel, the good news embodied in Jesus Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, is breaking free from its Jewish confinement and is already starting on its journey to Samaria and to the ends of the earth, to Rome, Spain, Egypt, the British Isles, Friesland, the one over the water, Russia, the Americas, and even to Holland, Michigan. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to him forever. Amen.